B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mask.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mask.
Q-U-I-T quit.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tom Brady continues to be in the center of the conversation even as the week goes by, because on Tuesday he announced his retirement from the NFL with an 8-page statement on Instagram, and in it he made no mention of the Patriots, of their fans, of the owner Robert Kraft, or of the coach Bill Belichick. Now, it took 34 hours from the time that statement was released for Belichick to respond. Belichick, it was explained, was, quote, traveling. On Tuesday, he then did release this, saying, "I am privileged to have drafted and coached Tom Brady, the ultimate competitor and winner. Tom's humble beginning in professional football ultimately ended with him becoming the best player in NFL history. I thank Tom for his relentless pursuit of excellence and positive impact on me and the New England Patriots for 20 years. Brady then did respond to that, kind of, on his Instagram story.
That's three hearts, Green. That's three hearts. That's
three
real
hearts. He wrote, "Thank you, Coach Belichick. I appreciate being coached by you, the greatest coach in NFL history," and the three heart emojis. And so in our first conversation of this today, in our first hour, I pointed out just how incredibly passive-aggressive Brady's initial statement was by not mentioning the Patriots. It was then brought to my attention, Belichick's statement is pretty passive-aggressive, too. How many times do you see someone immediately point out, "I drafted"? The first sentence says, "I drafted you. Your humble beginning in pro football ended with you becoming the best player in NFL history." Gee, I wonder who I'm suggesting is responsible for that. The passive-aggressiveness that is going back and forth between these two is worthy of, like, a Disney Plus special.
No, what do you mean?
And I'm here for it.
Mike Greenberg on ESPN summing up Bill Belichick's statement for Tom Brady, his tribute to Tom Brady last night that, well, you heard him say it. Included in the very first couple sentences, Bill pointing out that he drafted him and that he came into the league with humble beginnings but ended up the greatest player in NFL history. So I have a theory on this. Murray or Maz, you guys want to go first? Want to give your thoughts first?
Well, again, I think that it was some subtle shots there, and it was Bill making it about Bill within that first sentence. Like, "I made you. You wouldn't have got this far and had all these accolades and had the career that you have had without me." I thought it was very evident. And, you know, the pettiness continues. You know, I mean, Tom's been petty.
Sorry,
now Bill's petty.
Go ahead, Murray. I'm sorry.
No, that's it.
The phrase that stuck out to me more than anything else was humble beginnings. Humble beginnings. Why is that even necessary to put that in there other than to say you were nothing when you got here? And also, by the time you left, you weren't exactly humble anymore either. So now you're something different than you were when you got here. I took that out of it, too. But I think the big part of it was, you know, that he was a working, you know, he was a project. Yeah. Tom Brady was a project.
I think it's less Bill taking a shot and more Bill just trying to grab some credit for Brady's career, which Bill has done for 30 years. With various other things, and a lot of coaches do, and it is, as I described earlier, a just part of Bill's makeup, his psychology. For some reason, even despite all that he's accomplished in his football career, he still wants you to know, when someone makes a good play on Sunday, we practiced it on Friday, which lets you know we had this. And the reason the player was in the position to make that play is because we knew this was going to happen, and we coached them to do it. So Bill's hardly the only guy that says we practice that on Friday, but that's what that is. And that has been central to, that's been endemic of Bill for a long time, and a lot of his coaches seem to fall into it. Again, famous example, Matt Patricia, when he's coaching the Detroit Lions as a head coach and he's challenged about some of their fourth quarter failings and why the Lions aren't coming through in the fourth quarter, Matt Patricia has to say, "Well, I have one of the great fourth quarter plays in Super Bowl history, so I think I'm okay there." Taking credit for Malcolm Butler's interception, which they've all tried to do. The Do Your Job special spent how much? 10, 15 minutes on them going over that pass play by the Seahawks in practice during Super Bowl week and how Ernie Adams was all over that. And Malcolm Butler at first didn't get it right. And they coached him up to put your foot in the ground and go do this. When that play happens, it's the coaches wanting everyone to know we had this. We were on it. That wasn't just Malcolm Butler. That was us. That's us. And Bill is obsessed with this kind of thing. And to all the way down to the name of his boat, it started off three rings. After he won his first Super Bowl in New England, He named his boat Three Rings. I was on it. Okay, I was on the Three Rings. And boy, not that I would mention it at the time or that it even really occurred to me, but the Three Rings obviously represented the two with the Giants and the one in New England. It's like, when you really think of it, the first two, you were an assistant coach. Who takes credit like that? But Bill does, because I think, as I mentioned to you earlier, Bill developed a thing with Parcells, and I think a lot of guys on Parcells' staff did, that Parcells put was such an egomaniac and such a big figure and such a, you know, just cut he, such a...
He wanted the spotlight.
And he was. Parcells was the spotlight, right? I mean, people just were gravitated to Parcells and Parcells and Parcells and Parcells. And I think Bill and guys on that staff developed a real resentment that Parcells got all the credit when it was him and Romeo Crennel and Charlie Weiss and Al Groh in the office till 3 in the morning devising the game plans that Parcells was taking credit for. And so I think Bill really developed this thing where it's like, you understand, that wasn't him, that was me. And as Bill waited forever to get his head coaching chance and all of this, it's like, I think that's where it began. It's like, it's not just the tuna. You know, you think he came up with that blitz? He wasn't there at 4 in the morning with me and Al Groh devising that thing. He was sleeping off another, you know, whatever, barbecue rib dinner, the big fatso.
With Francesa.
Yeah, right. It was me and Groh. It was us. It's me. And so I think Bill developed that thing where it's like he always wanted to get his credit. And I think, so back to the statement last night, that's what that was. He wants to remind you early on, I drafted this guy, and when he got here, he won all that good. So I deserve credit for Tom Brady's career. I mean, that's just basically what it comes down to. It's less of a shot and more of that thing. I was a part of this.
Yeah, either way, he made it about himself.
Of course he did. And that drafting part, too. I mean, there's different people that are taking credit for that. It's Greer, Dick Rabine, who has passed. But, you know, that was a collaborative effort. But also, a 6-round pick, you hit a lottery ticket, dude.
Oh, completely. He completely did.
The draft pick was lucky. I still give him credit for it. Like, I'm not going to give Bobby Greer the credit. I mean, it did happen. And also, like, his draft in 2000 blew. Adrian Clem, J.R. Redmond was okay, I guess. But, like, one bum after the next to the whole draft. So I blame him for having a lousy draft. I'm going to blame him for Adrian Clem. I have to give him credit for Tom Brady. Same with Pioli or whoever was in the room. Like, they're responsible for all the misses and they're responsible for the hit. But, I mean, Pioli, for one, is readily admit how lucky that was. They drafted, is it Dave Marriott?
What was it? Jeff Marriott.
Jeff Marriott.
And look at some of these names. Clem, J.R. Redmond, Greg Randall, Dave Stachelski.
Dave Stachelski was a tight end, right?
Yes.
I think this kid got homesick during training camp and called home in tears. Like he was 11 years old or something like this. You know, don't quote me, I don't know if that was exact, but something along, they had a kid in one of those early training camps who got homesick and like got on the phone. I want to come home, like that thing, like your 8-year-old kid does. So they drafted all sorts of bozos until they got to Brady. So it's like, I mean, the draft pick was lucky. So it is, that is a reach to take credit for the draft pick, but Bill wants to do it because that's just part of his makeup. I had this. I was in on this. I'm partly responsible for this.
I mean, again, the I'm stunned that in the week that Brady is retired, this is the thing that has happened. Brady posted on Instagram, doesn't mention the team, and then Belichick 2 days later, 30-something hours, 34, 36 hours, whatever it was.
34.
34 hours later, then comes the statement. Not immediately. At least Kraft has his ready to go.
So I do think Bill was agitated by the snub on day one, as they all were down there. And I think Bill was too. And the giveaway is courtesy of a frequent emailer named Ryan. I think he sent this to Murray as well.
Yeah.
I grabbed this. I was going through the emails before.
This was great. His emails are great.
So Linda Holiday posted Bill's statement. And so she's on there and she's interacting with some fans and some commenters, I guess. And maybe Murray can explain this better, but there were comments underneath the
initial post.
The initial post of people just chiming in. And then Linda went back and reposted those comments.
No, she's liking the posts.
Or liking them, okay.
You can hit a little heart, which is the equivalent of like, yep, I agree with what you say.
So here are some of the statements that she heart emojied or liked.
Oh, my God.
This is so good, Maz.
Thanks for posting this, Linda. Your Bill always takes the very high road. She liked it. Next one. Nice to see Bill take the high road and not stoop to immaturity. Classy comments. She liked it. Next one. He retired from a career in football with no Brady. Okay. He retired, meaning Brady, retired from a career in football with no mention of the Patriots and no mention of his coach of 20 years with a photo of a game beating the Patriots. He did not acknowledge those 20 years. Signed, PO'd Pat fan. Linda liked it. So she's going through and liking all the comments that
are pro-Bill.
That are pro-Bill and kind of dumping on Brady for the way he handled his release the other day.
Well, and I do think there was a measure of intent, of Bill's intent with that in the statement, too. In other words, you know, Tom's going to be petty. Well, I'm going to take the high road and call him the best player in NFL history. So, like, there was the impetus there for him to, but as you put, you know, to make sure he went a little farther than he has in the past, just to show how much of a petty little weasel Brady was on the way out the door. Because I do think that was an element to it. When I heard about that part of it, the best player in NFL history, I went, oh, he's killing him with kindness. He's absolutely killing him with kindness. But that line in there about humble beginnings.
I mean, come on.
He was clay. I molded him.
Totally.
That is the equivalent of
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We practice that on Friday. That's what that is. So that's my theory. Anyway, what are yours? I know you have them. Back to your thoughts right after these words.
Felger and Maz.
They love each other.
That's a lie. It's bullcrap.
And the audience loves them.
No, definitely grumpy. I don't care. Well, listen, guess what? You're in New England.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Up.
These are two guys that had an unprecedented, incredible, ludicrous record of success together and then very clearly got sick of each other. I think that's all been really well chronicled. And Brady went off and won in Tampa. And I don't know whether that makes Bill Belichick bitter or not. My guess is it probably does to a certain extent. And I think ultimately they're fine. But I'm not at all giving up on the notion that the Patriots and people connected with the Patriots were annoyed that they weren't mentioned in Brady's 8-page retirement letter on Instagram the other day. I think that's a completely legitimate conclusion to jump to.
Dan Graziano is part of that Get Up conversation. Just telling you that the national guys are looking at it the same way Mass and I are, like, get a load of these two. Back and forth. Isn't it great? John and Spencer, go ahead, John.
Hey, so I love reading too much into stuff, and I'm going to try my hand at being the facilitator here. Do you guys think Bill's quote about Tom always carrying himself with class and integrity could be him taking a little slight shot at how Tom has carried himself since going to Tampa with all of his sort of Instagram posts, trashing opponents, and then also when he wins the Super Bowl, he's getting wasted on a speedboat, tossing the Lombardi around and getting carried home?
Well, that's definitely not part of it, but like I said earlier, once you get past the first two lines, I think it's a straightforward, you know, good tribute to Brady. I did not read into he always handled himself with class and integrity on and off the field as an allusion to him not handling himself with class right now.
Yeah, I think you really got to twist yourself into a pretzel to go there.
But I guess it's possible.
Maybe, no, I didn't take it that way either. And again, look, I think him calling Brady the best player in NFL history is no small thing.
That's a big thing.
That's a significant statement coming from a guy like Bill.
And it's movement from Bill, who previously has said, there's no one I'd rather have. Like, that's as far as he would get, as close as he would get. There's no one else I would rather have than Tom Brady, which is different than saying the greatest of all time. It's saying there's, you know, he's in a group of guys that, but no one more, but, and, you know, previously, you know, he'd talk up Lawrence Taylor like he's the greatest of all time. So for him to acknowledge Brady as the best of all time is a concession, if you will, on the part of Bill
Belichick. He wanted to make that clear.
Which is, again, why I don't think the thing last night was a shot. It was more about carving out Bill's slice of the credit for what Brady became, which is the greatest of all time, which, and you know, if you follow me to its logic conclusion, is really just Bill putting it back on himself. I developed the greatest player of all time, which I think is closer to the bone. Paul in the car. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, yeah, who would thought that of all the people to join the Roger Clemens Jackass Hall of Fame, it'd be Brady? But besides the point that on ways to exit Massachusetts or Boston, think about this. The last 2 years, the experiment's over. So would you have rather have had Tom Brady these last 2 years, maybe won a Super Bowl, maybe not, or be 1 year into the next QB?
Right. So I'd rather have had Brady these 2 years. But as I said earlier, you can make the case they are in a better spot going forward because they have their guy in place with a year under his belt. Where if Brady had stayed, they're starting over this offseason with the new quarterback.
I would have rather Brady, and you think you have the guy in place. You don't know that yet.
That's right. No, it's true.
Right. I'm with Murray on that.
It's close. The thing that I think is asinine to say is that they wouldn't have been anything these 2 years with Brady. That's just dumb. They had a lot of money to spend. And Brady would have been reinvested if you committed to him, and you would have been good. Because wherever Brady goes, you're always good. You're always contending. He just proved it.
I just don't know how far ahead they are right now with Jones having played a year either. It feels like they are. But if they had, let's just say they drafted someone of comparable ability.
Trask or Davis Mills or one of these guys.
Yeah, and he had sat for a year and then played in year two. I think you could make the argument that the development, the path of development would be the same.
Agreed.
Patrick Mahomes didn't play till his second year, and he was great from the moment he set foot on the field.
No, I don't think Kyle Trask is Patrick Mahomes.
No, nor do I. But I'm saying it's a more traditional path in some ways. And maybe not traditional is the wrong word, but it's an equally as common path.
They would not have been high and dry at quarterback if they didn't want to be. Okay? If they managed it properly, either they would have an inside line on Garoppolo coming back this offseason, or they would have drafted a guy that they liked and developed him for a couple years or a year or whatever. They would have had a contingency plan, and they would not have been high and dry at quarterback. Now, if they just ignored the thing, or misplayed it like they ultimately did after the 2019 season, then yes, maybe you're stuck with some bum like Cam Newton. But that's only because they mismanaged it. It doesn't have to be that way. We've got Jim in the car. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
I had a theory on why Belichick's statement came in so late.
Go ahead.
I believe that he sent it accidentally to Flores first.
Ah, very good, Jim.
Ba-dum-bum.
I like it. Tommy's in Lynn. Hi, Tommy.
What's up, boys? All right, this is what I got to say about the Brady retirement. I'm happy that he retired, but there's never going to be a GOAT just like him. There's never going to be another player just like him. But Patriots fans need to stop complaining and crying about him not thanking them and the statement. But he thanked them 2 years ago when he was here.
So what?
So people need to stop.
So what, Tommy? What, you don't think he thanked Tampa fans last year? He did it again on Monday or Tuesday, whatever.
And he has since put out today a Patriots heavy tribute video that he also, you know, in the commentary says, I love you all. And all is all capitalized to be like, you good now, you babies?
Well, no, but the point is that he thanked you 2 years ago, so he doesn't need to thank you again. Is asinine.
Yeah, to me, again, the announcement statement is a whole different thing. That is your farewell to football. That is like your acceptance speech at the Academy Awards, or like I said, that's the historical document. That is the one that you say, this is my first announcement that I'm retiring that everyone will remember.
It's the one that's stuck up on his Instagram where everyone else is everything else is a story that disappears.
Correct.
So as Murray called it, a fart in the wind. The one that the one that sticks, the one that stays at top of his Instagram page is the announcement that did not include you. And just because he thanked you 2 years ago does not mean he could not have taken out a line to thank you again. The fan thing, I don't care about. Like I told you before, that's not my end of the story. But I don't begrudge you for feeling that way. You invested in him, and he didn't reciprocate. So you don't like that? That's your right.
I'm going to remember this when I don't thank people at the end. I'm going to say, well, I thanked you 5 years
ago. Yeah, exactly. we've got Myla in Danvers. Hi, Myla.
Hi, guys. I've been listening to a lot of this stuff, and I've been a Patriots fan my entire life. And at first, I'll admit that when I heard Brady's retirement, I was a little offended. But have you guys seen any of The Man in the Arena yet? Because as soon as I watched it, it's like a 9-hour tribute to his years in New England. and how he developed, how people like Lawyer Malloy, William McGinnis, Teddy Bruschi, Bill Belichick helped support him, and also how much the fans meant to him when he came back from the whole Deflategate and they were chanting his name.
Mila, so, I'm sure he's also going to praise the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and that team and their fans, and he did it again in the retirement statement.
But he didn't, because the series is over. It was just 9 episodes.
No,
he
they
didn't
got
even go this time at the Bucs, you know? And it made me just feel a little bit different. My perspective was a little different, because he did do like this new 9-hour tribute to how much we contributed, or how much the Patriots organization and his teammates contributed to his entire career.
All right. Well, if you feel that way, great. If he covered it 2 years ago and he covered it in the Man in the Arena, then you're covered. I don't think Kraft or Belichick or Linda feel the same way. And I know a lot of fans don't feel the same way, but that's your end of it, not mine. The fan thing is on you.
Hey, he does certainly gush. Not in every episode. It does go a little sideways. I think it's episodes 7 and 8. And so the final one, 9, it's like all about his time with the Patriots and how much he thanks Belichick and the coaches and the Krafts and all that. He really does. 7 and 8, when they have those kind of weird years and they have that ugly Eagles Super Bowl, you can tell he's pissed. Does he dive into it? Of course not. But it's not all 100% pro-Patriot. But this final episode that is yet to be made, it's going to be all about the Bucks. And so, and the other thing, too, it's not as readily accessible as an Instagram post. Too.
Thank you,
while
Murray.
He does do this.
Thank you.
Not everybody has paid the whatever the hell it costs to have ESPN Plus, $6, $7 per month to actually watch this thing.
No, this was a press release. This thing was a press release. It's totally different.
It was the definitive document.
Yes. And the other thing is, so now do I have to go back and watch all those Road to the Super Bowls with the Patriots? And anytime Bill compliments Brady, do I then get to say, well, he didn't have to issue this statement today because he thanked him in those videos? Would you cut the bull crap with that? Like, people connecting this to that. I hate that. That is a self-promote. That is strictly a self-promotional video series that he's doing with ESPN, which, by the way, I'm getting tired of. Tom versus Time, The Man in the Arena. What's the next one? The Man in the Clothing Store? The Brady brand? Is that what we're getting? Are we going to get some other crap like that? I'm tired of the Brady self-promotion. This is not the same.
Gasper would be first in line to watch that.
Definitely. I'm sure he's already bought stuff, Murray.
The Man in the Clothing Store.
This was his press release. He didn't mention the Patriots.
On purpose.
Yes, it was deliberate. And oh, God, let's stop making excuses for him.
Murray, get you updated. Final segment of your wonderful phone calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to believe it.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bill, the last couple of weeks, Lawrence Taylor's name has come up just in interviews. And I just had one other question on that topic. When you think back to his rookie year, what do you think contributed to him assimilating so quickly to the NFL?
His dominance. I mean, the greatness of Lawrence Taylor. He's bigger, stronger, faster, more explosive. And even though he didn't really know what he was doing, instinctively as a football player, he's at the very top of the list.
And this was significant for Belichick because there's someone new at the top of the list. It's Tom Brady, and he acknowledged it in that statement. So
I just like to think of anytime LT enters a room, that's how Bill greets him. You know, you have like, oh, his eminence. Instead, it's his dominance.
Ugh.
Comes on and, oh, there he is, his dominance. Have you got some of these emails that some people are trying to differentiate between calling Brady, what do you call him, the best?
Yeah, yes. The best versus the greatest.
Versus the greatest.
I To me, it felt like I was parsing too much, but it did. I did note it. He, like GOAT. Bill didn't want to play into that.
Well, you can make the best. You can. I helped make him the best. He was part of my system. That's how he became the best, the greatest. You come out of the womb the greatest. You see what I'm saying? The LT with his pure talent and his dominance, he's the greatest of all time. Brady was the best because I made him the best. Yeah. I don't believe this. I think that he was actually being fair, but there are some of these emails that people are like, oh, you could pick this in a part two if you wanted to, you vultures.
Yeah, I mean, I think people are reading into it too much.
Yep. Rarely I'm going to pass on that. I'm going to defer.
Yeah, I mean, look, best, greatest. Like we tend to swap those in and out all the time.
Yeah, no, so that was genuine, but so was the first couple of lines. I drafted him and I made him.
That's a take drink you want no part of.
Wrap it up with your phone calls. Ron in Medford. Hi, Ron.
You know, I got to tell you, it just cracks me up. He owes us nothing. Zip, zero, nada, nothing. Now, maybe it was an oversight not mentioning the fans. I believe it was probably more targeted at the Patriots organization. You let go the greatest quarterback. And you know what else? You know what the worst part of all this is? This coach quarterback tandem that won six Super Bowls, this legacy really ended probably a Super Bowl short. I mean, if he had kept them here, you probably could have added to this magnificent legacy.
And you would have contended. You could have made a run at another one. You could have. Which, again, in the interest of fairness, I was willing to, forgive. I'm willing to concede. Willing to give up for the next guy. I thought your sixth Super Bowl championship was a little superfluous. I mean, really, that last one, the Rams year, wasn't even that fun of a season.
No.
Wasn't even that good of a Super Bowl. So what was that really worth?
They kind of stole it.
I don't care about them stealing it. It just wasn't that compelling. The AFC title game in Kansas City was the highlight. Other than that, the regular season was kind of a slog. You weren't even all that good, not even down the stretch. You lose in Pittsburgh. You get some layup against the Chargers flying across the country. And then a totally dull Super Bowl. Like, what was it? Did you really need the six? Wouldn't you rather have the next quarterback for the next 10 years and win the six? I mean, that's what I was saying 2 years ago. So I'm being fair and saying that I would have given up that sixth one or the seventh one to have the next guy.
Oh, are you kidding? I was ready to trade him for Andrew Luck.
Now I've kind of changed my mind.
I mean, he outlasted Andrew Luck, for crying out loud. I couldn't have been more wrong.
But I based all of that on the fact that I thought Bill would just land on his feet. I just thought Bill would keep it going without Brady. So that was my miscalculation. I believed too much in Bill and his powers, that he could win with anyone. That's why I was wrong. I thought you were going to keep winning. You know, I thought you were going to keep contending. Brady would leave, and you'd just pick it up with the next guy because that's how good and smart Bill was. He'd have the next guy or coach the next guy, and you'd just keep the train on the tracks. I was not expecting what's amounted to a 500 football team with no playoff wins 2 years later.
I got to look up now when how old Brady was when Andrew Luck got drafted, because I was ready to quit.
Oh, yeah, sure. No. Yeah.
It was 10 years ago. He was like 34, 35.
Yeah.
I thought he's got 3 years left and that's it. He's done.
The one way to look at it, Maz, is that we had it first.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were way ahead of the
other way to look at it is we were moronic. Al in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Al.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Commander. I really appreciate it. I don't think Kraft could come off looking any worse in this whole situation. I mean, he's probably the only one in his office crying about this breakup. But if he thinks it's bad now, what's going to happen in 5 years when Tom Brady gets inducted into the Hall of Fame, when it probably would have been him or Bill if this ended the way it should have ended? But my question is, who inducts Brady into the Hall of Fame in 5 years?
Tom Sr., if he's still with us? I don't know. But believe me, by the time we get to the Hall of Fame, the Yellow Jacket thing, they will be best buddies, fast friends. There won't be any mention of any of this crap. That'll all be in the rear view.
Well, so just quickly, only because they brought it up, is there a criteria for the Patriots Hall of Fame? Does he have to be retired for any length of time?
I don't know.
So like, he's going to get in there before he gets into Canton.
And by then, it'll be all smooth.
Absolutely,
over.
It'll be all over. No question it'll all be over. But again, some of those wounds from a couple of years ago from Brady are still there, and they probably always will be. But they'll get pushed farther and farther down with every year.
But given all his other business interests and how busy he is, and he's consistently traveling the world, will they feel slighted? Will Patriots fans feel slighted if he is inducted to the Patriots Hall of Fame and all you get is a video?
Meaning he doesn't show up?
Correct.
Oh, he'll show up.
He'll show up for that.
I don't know.
If he doesn't show up, what do you know, Murray?
Is that exactly?
No, that is not
exactly.
A mask.
See, no, see, no, now that's like, now you just pulled a mask. Like, you give me so much grief it's for so that true. Kind of crap.
It's so true. No.
Mr. Hypocrite.
Pulled a mask.
Yeah, you did. You totally did.
It's so obvious,
yeah, if you're going to give me
it's
that kind
so
of crap,
obvious.
Answer the question.
I shouldn't have phrased it mask-like.
Let me see your phone.
I shouldn't have phrased it mask-like. I don't have my phone, nothing like that. That's just a gut feeling. Because, again, he's just so effing busy, couldn't even send the video to Robert at the birthday party this summer. If he's still pissed and they want to do it in a couple of years,
so listen, Tom Curran,
it's an assault.
Well, you deserved it.
Well done, Murray. Well done,
phony back there.
Well done,
Stu. Could you pull up Curran? I think it's number three from yesterday. So Curran, who talks to the Bradys, the Brady camp, the Bradyites. I don't necessarily mean the Brady family, but maybe that's included. I don't know. He's embedded in the Brady camp, talks to these folks. Told you yesterday, told us on TV two nights ago, the one-day contract charade, non-starter. The Patriots Hall of Fame, okay, but the one-day contract thing, no way. I think it's this cut. Go ahead.
Tom, the one-day contract thing, the New England Patriots retirement, that's off the table. Have you heard that? Is that just a non-starter for the Brady people?
I think the Patriots will love to do that, but they don't want to extend the invitation and be spurned, obviously. Meanwhile, I think that would be a bridge too far. That's my understanding. Look, I'll do everything for the Patriots Hall of Fame, but that would be flying in the face of what actually happened in 17, 18, and 19 when he was begging for a contract and they wouldn't give him one. And hey, come on back. We've got a photo op here right out in front of the hall. And if you could sign that. it's not going to work for him.
I'll do all I can for the Patriots Hall of Fame, but if you want the one day, you know, ceremonial contract, you can stuff it. I asked for a real contract and you said no, so why am I going to sign a fake one so you can get another picture and, you know, your fake logo?
I don't blame Brady for that one. I don't blame him for that at all. Like, you know, to me, that is one that, like, okay, that one you can stick. But I still
the Hall of Pat's Hall of Fame. He'll come back with bells on. Everyone's hugging it out. It'll all be kumbaya. Believe me.
He'll sell a lot of tickets and silhouette logos that day.
Bill in Westfield. Hi, Bill. William. Oh, I'm sorry. Ron in Westfield. You're Ron. Go ahead, Ron. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm not a Belichick fan, but you got to admit that he made the biggest decision ever in 01 when Bledsoe goes down, gets hurt, ready to come back. He inserts Brady, and the rest is history as far as the Patriots go.
Sure.
Change the course of the Patriots' history forever.
You bet. Yep. I'll give it to him. Of course, you should give it to him. Now, I just want you to remember, people think the Mo Lewis hit was it, and that gave Bill his chance, and he just went plowed ahead, straight ahead with Brady after that. You do know Bledsoe went back in the game after the Mo Lewis hit. It's not like Bill said, oh, great, Bledsoe's hurt, Brady, you're it, you go, take it and run. Bledsoe went back in the game. For either a series or a play or something. So people tend to forget that one. But on balance, yeah, Bill gets to take credit for picking Brady over Bledsoe.
Yeah, once the team responded, he did what he says he often does, even though if he's not always genuine about it. He did what was best for the team and kept Brady in there.
He never loved Bledsoe as a player. He knew how to beat him. They used to... Belichick.
He traded him to Buffalo.
It's like, wait, yeah. Oh, I have to face you twice a year. Good.
Right.
Yeah, he had no great affinity for Bledsoe as a player. Jason in the car. Go ahead, Jason.
You know, all this passive aggressiveness has been going on between Brady and Belichick. There was a time, and I don't know if you guys talked a lot about this, but there was one time where I thought Belichick really crossed the line, and I don't know if this is where things started to go downhill, but if you remember when Brady hurt his thumb,
of course,
and Belichick gets out in front of everybody and says, look, we're not exactly talking about brain surgery here.
Open heart surgery.
I'd like to know how many times in the history of the NFL, recent history, when a player, especially a great one, gets injured like that, and the coach comes out publicly and says that, I cannot recall, and I think that's the... That has to have pissed Brady off.
Sure, it's on the list. He still wanted a contract and still would have stayed here. So it's like put that thing in this long list of things after the contract that aggravated Brady or aggravated Belichick and was a part of the breakup but wasn't the main reason. But really, what a comment. I mean, 999 times out of 1,000, the coach goes the other direction, meaning, overpraising the athlete for continuing to play and battle through injury, and you just, as a matter of course, you just praise the guy for playing through an injury, whether it's real or imagined or fake or whatever, severe or mild. You just praise your player. Not Bill. Now, I wouldn't go overboard here. It's not open heart surgery.
What year was that? Do you remember
that? Was the Jacksonville game.
Yeah, that was
2014?
17.
Okay, so that was definitely a log on the fire then, because the fire had been burning for a few years by then. Garoppolo, Deflategate, now my hand gets, you know, practically ripped off in practice, and you're telling me it's nothing? Remember that, how freaky that injury was, too?
Yeah. Having watched this in Man in the Arena, he goes out of his way to tell you how bad that injury really was.
Did he put the Bill clip in there?
No, he didn't.
This is why it would drive you crazy. Okay, so this is why I am not watching it, because I don't think
you shouldn't. It'll make you mad.
I don't think he's telling the story. Like I need to keep it real, or else it just doesn't do anything for me. Again, go to Barstool if you just want to feel good and yay. But I can't. I need.
He handles that whole year. Again, we all know that that's an issue, and they put the whole hour is about the injury. And then he basically tells everyone they should have minded their own business. That's all his take on it was. In 2017, as the thing was devolving between him and Bill and him and the franchise, you all should have minded your own business.
Oh, by 2017, Bill was definitely sick of him by then. Definitely. I mean, that was 3 or 4 years where he'd be dealing with the Alex Guerrero crap. I'm like, what are we going to do now? Put his trainer in Canton, too? That is great. I want to play that tomorrow. That's such a good comment. That is a great one. That is so good.
I'm not talking about open heart surgery.
What a dick.
Ryan in Worcester, quickly.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. So quickly, you guys, I don't know if you noticed this, but on Brady's Instagram post, his football picture was actually at the Patriots game.
We know. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, I didn't know if you covered it.
Oh, no, it's part of it. It's like, we're celebrating my retirement, me and the Buccaneers, who gave me this chance. You could have been that team. Love you, mean it.
I mean, before I read any of it, the 1,000 words that he basically wrote on Instagram, that was the first thing I saw. I was like, I know what game that is. It's immediate. Like, how could you not tell? And no, then really. I realized he didn't even mention the Patriots. There's no photos of him with the Patriots. Like, oh, boy. All right. This is going to get great.
At that point, he had as many wins at Gillette as Mac Jones did, for crying out loud.
All right. Final word. You don't want to miss it. Comes your way right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Naz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Naz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Naz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nope.
Well, I think if you listen with any regularity to this show, you know it's not just names that get butchered regularly. It's sayings as well. Like, I think you were looking for the fox guarding the hen house, and instead we got this.
So O'Brien has always fancied himself as the next guy. Bill would love that. A guy and his staff just waiting for him to fall.
What if Kraft wants O'Brien and Bill doesn't?
Okay. Like, I think there's all sorts of intricacies there that you're just not considering. That's a good one, too. Bill doesn't want the cock in the hen house. What's the phrase?
Isn't it the wolf in the hen house? The fox.
Let's go with cock.
There's a fox in the...
Okay? You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't...
That one would have a field day.
It's the fox guarding the hen house. Maz was close. You almost had it there.
Yeah, right? No, fox in the hen house. I think it's the fox in the hen house.
Either or.
No. The fox... The whole thing here is the fox isn't protecting the hens. The fox is...
Eating.
Yeah. Getting after it.
Yeah, I won't tell you what the cock is doing.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I thought it was the anyway,
we wouldn't be short on eggs, I'll tell you that.
Played the Belichick clip of Chris Mad Dog Russo, who we hope to see on Radio Row in Los Angeles this coming week. But with that, I mentioned that Mad Dog lost his mind about something that he saw at the NFC Championship game between the Rams and the Niners this past Sunday.
And Leonard DiCaprio at a football game. You got to be kidding me. Leonard DiCaprio. Leonard DiCaprio. Really? Good actor. Not bad. Another guy. He wouldn't know Norm Van Brocklin. Oh, my God. What a disgrace. We take a timeout. We continue. Quarter after the hour, we're on Mad Dog Unleashed. Don't go left. Hey, really? There's not 70,000 football fans in the Southern California market who want to put a Ram jersey on and go to a ball game? Really? On a beautiful Sunday afternoon in a beautiful stadium? Really? I can't. I'm not accepting. That's atrocious. I don't care what sort of sport. I mean, you know, they're not in Racine, Wisconsin. I mean, it is Los Angeles. My God. And then the fans they do bring into the joint. You know, Leonard, but you think DiCaprio's a football fan? At least Mark Wahlberg with his Patriot love. At least he's from New England. You know, at least he left the Super Bowl, which is one of the biggest disgraces in the history of sports, at 28-3. We've screamed about that forever. But, I mean, think about it. I mean, I've never seen Leonard DiCaprio at a sporting event all my life. And now he's at the Ram game yesterday, sitting in a suite, no less. All right, come on. That's the sort of fan scenario. That's the kind of fans they get. They're not blue-collar fans. They don't live and die with their team. They go to the game to be seen. A couple of cocktails. Hey, what's the score? Let's get out of here. We've seen enough. I've been on camera. Joe Buck has panned the stadium. I've waved. That's not a football fan. 20 in front of the arrow. We continue.
What was the line in the first half? Actor? Not bad.
Yeah. Leonard DiCaprio at a football game. You got to be kidding me. Leonard DiCaprio...
Who am I? I mean, again.
Leonard DiCaprio. Really?
Okay.
Good actor. Not bad.
Jimmy,
good
he's...
Good actor. Not bad.
He's there, right? He's in L.A.
We'll find out.
Who, Mad Dog?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be out there. Yeah, okay. I've already connected with these people. We're trying to set it up.
Oh, all right, good. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I've already connected. We're trying to set it up.
Got
to
have that. All right. Either way, that'll be...
Leonard DiCaprio. Yeah, not bad.
They'll do that. Here comes Jones. I have no idea what it is, but I know it's not going to be pleasant for you. So, my condolences. We're back at tomorrow. I think it's Friday already tomorrow.
Yep. It is. Yes. Yeah. Fast week.
That means it's agenda free.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.